Omicron and now the dominant COVID-19 variant in the Philippines. The U.S. shatters its own record for most COVID-19 cases in a single day. Candidates and officials express alarm over the cyber attack on the website of the Philippines' poll body. And for In Focus today, we'll talk to House Deputy Speaker Lito Atienza about his bid to become the country's next vice president. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Our top story at this hour, Omicron, now the dominant COVID variant in the Philippines. This comes less than a month after it was first discovered in the country. According to the health department, 60% of the samples in the latest genome sequencing contained the highly transmissible variant. Health Secretary Francisco Duque III also says the average daily reported cases went up by 690% from January 4 to 10, equivalent to an average daily increase of 20,481 cases. And because of this, the whole country is now at critical risk classification for COVID-19.
Makikita kasalukuyang nasa critical risk ang buong bansa as paggagamitan ng growth in cases at ADAR or average daily attack rate per 100,000 population. Ang Pilipinas as a 3,663% positive po yan na talagang antulin ang bilis ng kalat ng mga kaso. Karamihan ng mga riyon ay nagkaroon ng kanilang pagtaas ng tatlong panukatan at yun na nga, kaya naman aming pinaalalahanan ang mga ospital na bigyan prioridad ang pagtanggap o pag-admit ng ating pong mga moderate, severe at critical cases.
The Omicron variant pushed the Philippines' daily case tally to another record high. The country logged 33,169 more infections Monday. This raises the number of active cases to over 150,000, the highest since September last year. The COVID positivity rate also reached an all-time high of 46%. This means almost one in every two people have tested positive. Philippine Interior Secretary Eduardo Año contracts COVID-19 for the third time. Año says he took a test after several of his close contacts tested positive. He says he is asymptomatic. Año first caught the virus in March of 2020. He contracted it for a second time 5 months later, where he had to be hospitalized. Several groups slammed the health department's decision to shorten the quarantine period for medical frontliners exposed to COVID-19. That's as more hospital personnel test positive for the disease. The Filipino Nurses United likened it to sending their members on a suicide mission. The group stresses it's the government's responsibility to provide them with a safe work environment. But an epidemiologist believes the health department's new policy is justified.
If they don't shorten it, the more that the hospitals are going to lose their healthcare workers. Because as is, you know, there are hospitals that have to close their other departments because there's simply no people there to man those mm-hmm. departments. So they are justified in shortening it for healthcare workers because there's a science behind it that at least what the international health organizations are telling us, that we can be safe enough to shorten the quarantine period for the healthcare workers.
More hospital and village health workers in Quezon City also getting COVID amid the latest Omicron wave. But Mayor Joy Belmonte says most of them are asymptomatic to mild cases, allowing them to return to work earlier based on the latest DOH guidelines.
But having said that, of course, napakahalaga sa amin ang aming mga frontliners and medical health care workers. So the city has actually invested in more effective PPEs, no, that have come into the market recently. And they're more expensive, but they're also guaranteed to protect our healthcare workers more.
Quezon City is currently dealing with some 27,000 active COVID cases. The U.S. reported at least 1.13 million new COVID-19 cases Monday. That's the highest daily total of any country in the world. And as this report tells us, COVID hospitalizations there also reached an all-time high as the Omicron variant fuels a devastating surge.
COVID-19 hospitalizations in the U.S. reached the highest level of any other point in the pandemic on Monday, as a surge in infections caused by the highly contagious Omicron variant strains healthcare systems. According to a Reuters tally, 132,646 people were hospitalized with COVID, surpassing the record of 132,051 set in January of last year. But this time is different.
So now let's talk about the COVID numbers.
Dr. Raul Sharma, emergency physician in chief at New York Presbyterian Weill Cornell Medical Center, says that unlike prior surges, only 50% of his hospital's COVID patients were admitted due to classic symptoms such as difficulty breathing, pneumonia, or low oxygen levels.
The remaining 50% of these COVID hospitalizations are patients admitted for other causes, for example, heart attacks, strokes, abdominal pain, cancer, other infections, but who happen to incidentally test positive for COVID, since everyone that's admitted to the hospital is tested for COVID. Now, today, the fact that a large number of our COVID hospitalizations are incidental really reflects the level of community spread of Omicron.
He added that half of those hospitalized with COVID at New York Presbyterian are vaccinated. And while his hospital is already stretched to capacity, the worst may be yet to come.
We'll need to examine the numbers over the coming days, but we anticipate a peak in the next week or two.
Across the country, hospitalizations have increased steadily since late December, doubling in the last 3 weeks, as Omicron quickly overtook Delta as the dominant version of the virus. Several states, as well as Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, have reported record hospitalizations. But there is some good news, as Omicron appears to be potentially less severe than prior strains, as Dr. Sharma has seen in New York.
About 10% of these COVID hospitalizations right now are in the ICU, and 5% are on ventilators. Now, as a point of comparison, this is a lower number than during the two prior surges.
Deaths nationwide from COVID are averaging 1,700 per day, up from about 1,400 in recent days, but within levels seen earlier this winter.
The U.S. and Japan tighten travel restrictions as the Omicron variant continues to wreak havoc across the globe. The U.S. has placed Canada on alert level 4, advising Americans against traveling there due to rising COVID-19 cases. Last Friday, new daily cases in Canada soared by 65% from the previous week, straining healthcare systems. Japan extending its border restrictions until the end of February, though some exceptions for humanitarian reasons may be considered. The country adopted some of the strictest border controls in the world when the highly infectious variant emerged last year. South Africa has begun scaling down COVID restrictions now that the infection wave there brought by the Omicron variant has eased. The country managed to control the highly transmissible variant in a matter of weeks, according to South Africa's Health Deputy Director General, Dr. Nicholas Crisp. Although several metrics indicate that the infection wave is over, the government is not letting its guard down.
The lesson for us is that every wave is different. The way in which it behaves is different. And even if you have immunity from previous infections, you can still get infected. You need to make sure that you are following the trends, and any uptick or flame of infection, you need to very quickly get in there and find out what's going on and then put the necessary control measures in place. You cannot let your guard down, even though we are moving into a more endemic management.
A Pfizer vaccine targeting the Omicron variant could be ready by March. The drug maker's CEO says the company is already manufacturing doses due to keen interest from governments as Omicron drives up infection numbers worldwide. Pfizer has said its current regime of two vaccine shots and a booster already provide reasonable protection against the variant. But it adds a vaccine focused directly on Omicron would also guard against breakthrough infections. Moderna has also announced it is developing a booster that targets the fast-spreading variant. The Philippine Senate releases Twinkle Dargani, the president of controversial firm Formally Pharmaceutical, due to humanitarian reasons. Senate President Vicente Soto III says she will be turned over to her mother, who has expressed concern over her daughter's deteriorating mental health. Dargani has also contracted COVID-19 and is exhibiting mild symptoms. The Formally official has been under Senate custody since November last year, along with her brother, Mohit Dargani, and Lincoln Ong, for refusing to cooperate in the probe into government's allegedly anomalous pandemic supply deals. Mohit Dargani and Ong have since been transferred to the Pasay City Jail. In business, foreign direct investments into the Philippines nearly doubled in October of last year. FDI net inflows grew 98.9% in October to $855 million from $430 million in the same month in 2020. This brought the total FDI in net inflows for the first 10 months of 2021 to $8.1 billion. That's 48% higher than the $5.5 billion recorded in January to October 2020. The Philippine Central Bank attributed the higher FDI to growth in debt instruments. Meanwhile, most equity capital placements were sourced mainly from Japan, Singapore, and the U.S. The government touts foreign investments as key to recovering from the pandemic. Philippine trade deficit widens further in November. It came in at $4.71 billion, higher than October's $4 billion. Exports rose to $6.27 billion year-on-year, but declined on a monthly basis. Of the top 10 major commodity groups in terms of the value of exports, six recorded annual increases led by coconut oil. Imports, meanwhile, increased to $10.98 billion. The surge was due to an increase in all of the top 10 major commodity groups, led by medicinal and pharmaceutical products. The U.S. is the Philippines' top export partner, followed by China and Japan. The Philippine Court of Appeals clears Japanese billionaire Katsuo Okada of fraud charges. It reversed a lower court's decision that found reason to put Okada and another associate on trial for allegedly misappropriating $3.16 million from a casino resort operator where he was CEO. The CA said the lower court acted with grave abuse of discretion because the case filed by Tiger Leisure, the operator of the Okada Manila Integrated Casino report, lacked probable cause. Tiger Leisure had accused the Japanese gaming mogul of illegally disbursing millions of dollars during his tenure as CEO for his consultancy work and salaries. Okada has denied the allegations. The popular fashion and lifestyle magazine Vogue will soon have a Philippine edition. This is part of a partnership between Condé Nast Traveler and Mega Global Licensing. The English language Filipino edition will be available beginning September 2022. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. Let's take a break now. Coming up, In Focus turns the spotlight on Vice Presidential aspirant Lito Atienza. Stay with us. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Omicron, now the dominant COVID-19 variant in the Philippines. The U.S. shatters its own record for most COVID-19 cases in a single day. And candidates and officials express alarm over the cyber attack on the website of the Philippines' poll body. 2022 candidates and government officials express alarm over the supposed hacking of the Philippine Poll Body's website. A local broadsheet reports 60 gigabytes of sensitive voter data were stolen in that cyber attack. The report adds the data breach on Saturday involves usernames, passwords, as well as user accounts of COMELEC personnel. But COMELEC spokesperson James Jimenez says these data still do not exist in the COMELEC systems.
This information is still not existing in our systems simply because we haven't gotten to that point of the preparations yet. Voter data, lists of voters, they're not online. How could they have hacked them? How could they have gotten them if they're not online? Well, we've done everything possible, no, to make sure that our data is secure. So we're pretty confident that, no hack happened.
The 2022 tandem of Vice President Lenny Robredo and Senator Francis Pangilinan calling on the COMELEC to take steps to ensure this won't affect the integrity of the May elections. For Bayan Muna Congressman Carlos Zarate, there's a sense of deja vu as he cited the so-called COMELEC's hacking incident in 2016. He suspects the incident was meant to destroy the credibility of the COMELEC and to push for a no election scenario. 50 years in public office, from being a youth activist to becoming the chief information officer of the city he grew up in, he became a vice mayor, mayor, a cabinet secretary, and for the past 9 years, he's been a legislator. And throughout all the decades and positions, his indestructible core has always been to defend the Filipino family and the Filipino child. Now, Lito Atienza could have chosen to be part of the 2022 elections as a spectator, sitting comfortably in his home in the city of Manila. But in a move that surprised many, his signature booming voice and colorful Hawaiian shirt made an appearance once again, this time as a vice presidential candidate of a longtime friend, boxing icon-turned-Senator Manny Pacquiao. In fact, it was a deputy speaker himself who was recommending names of possible running mates to the senator. But in the end, the political heavyweight was no match for the champion boxer when he cornered him to be that other person that would make up the tandem. Yes, he's held many offices in the past, but to gun for the vice presidency, that's a whole new fight. Does he have what it takes to be the next vice president of the Philippines? In focus today, vice presidential candidate, Deputy Speaker Lito Atienza. Good afternoon, Deputy Speaker. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Carmina, for considering me in today's program. I've been looking forward to this. When I was informed and I accepted, I was excited to be part of this program. Very informative, and kailangan natin ngayon ang bigyan ng tamang impormasyon ng ating mga kababayan sa nangyayari sa ating bansa ngayon.
Yeah, we're in for a very interesting and fun conversation, I hope. And I want to begin from the time you were a youth leader. You rose up against the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos. In fact, in a recent interview, you said, ang paghihirap natin ngayon, kailangan iugat natin sa pinanggalingan. Martial law, dictatorship, Marcos. But Mr. Deputy Speaker, Marcos Jr. is now the front runner in the run-up to the elections. What does that tell you?
I beg your pardon?
What does that tell you, Congressman Atienza, that Marcos Jr. is the front runner now in the run-up to the elections?
You know, Alvina, I don't entirely believe the storytelling of the Marcos campaign, because there's a lot of loopholes and a lot of angles where you can see they're not telling the truth. To make it appear that Marcos is a far ahead of all the potential presidents in this year's election is, to me, part of the whole propaganda machinery to say that he's unbeatable, he's way ahead in surveys. All of these are, to me, are all made up as part of a very well-crafted political campaign, engineered by a lot of money, which the Marcoses have. Yan ang malungkot sa atin ngayon. Ang nangyayari sa ating kampanya ay hindi ka panipaniwala. Hindi ko naniniwala na 58 or 55 or 52% of our people have already forgiven the Bargoses. We have not even gotten anything from them. All the money that has been investigated and looked into by the government, they have not been able to get all of this money. And up to now, so many hundreds of billions of pesos, the PCGG itself admits, hindi pa nila nakukuha. So I don't think Filipinos, all of a sudden, just overnight, nakalimutan na lahat itong mga problema ito, itong mga kasalanan ito. At hindi ko naman sinasabing magalit tayo sa mga Bargoses. So sinasabi ko, ako mismo, pinatawad ko na sila. Pero hindi ko makakalimutan ang ginawa nila. Talagang nilaspag ang ekonomiya ng bansa at yung pera natin nawala. Pati yung ginto sa Central Bank nawawala. Eh ako'y, I will not change my position on this matter. I may forgive all the Bargoses from Imelda, Jaime, Irene, Bongbong, but I will never forget what they've done to us. And to say that the father is even a hero, should be considered a hero, is to me one of the biggest jokes of the century. The man described by the World Book of Records, Guinness Book of Records, the greatest thief of all time. Sabi ng pamilya niya, kailangan daw kung natin bayani. Bayani ng ano? Modelo ng ano? Saan papunta ang ating bansa kapag ka ginawa natin bayani yung sinasabi ng buong mundo na pinakamalaking magnanakaw sa kasaysayan ng tao? Kaya ito ay mga bagay na kailangan may paalala palagi sa taong bayan. Money can buy so many distortions in our history. But
I'm sorry to cut you there, Congressman Atienza, but you mentioned the surveys a while ago. I mean, if you think about it, if you have one or two outliers in the surveys, maybe the tendency is to believe that, you know, they're not saying the same thing. But all of these survey houses have been pretty consistent that he is the front runner. Are you telling us now that they're also in on it in this massive campaign to make it appear that they are actually the front runners?
Kanina, I put myself in the position of a typical Filipino today. Hirap na hirap ako sa buhay, daming problema, daming sakit sa pamilya. Binigyan ako ng GCash card. Yan, makakakuha ng pera dyan. Galing kay Bongbong Marcos. Eh, syempre, nalambot na yung posisyon. Ang bait nitong taong to, bibigyan ako ng pera. At ikaw, pag nag-recruit ka ng mas tutulong pa kay Bongbong Marcos, eh makakakuha ka ng mas malaking salapi. Yan ay kasama lahat sa ginagawa nila na merong temporary blinding effect on the voter. Pero like what happened in the past, and it's bound to happen again, we will wake up one day and just realize, teka, binubola kami nito. Wala naman ako na mapapala rito. E bakit buwang ka? Gusto nila kalimutan ko na lahat yung nangyari. And that will be the realization of the Filipinos na hindi pala totoo yung mga pinagsasabi.
Kanina po, nabanggit ninyo ng pahapyaw, no, na itong nangyayari ngayon, this didn't happen overnight. It was years and years of planning, preparations. But let me ask you, Deputy Speaker, what have you seen in your decades in politics that contributed to the situation that we have now? Clearly, this is not just about the Marcoses. Clearly, this is all about everyone else that came into power since they fled the country. So where did they go wrong that Malacañang now is within striking distance of a Marcos, Congressman?
I believe that our leaders after Marcos committed a very grave miscalculation and a big error. They did not really pursue the issues against Marcos. Right now, they should all be in jail. Tinan niyo nangyayari ngayon. Naglumabag sa batas natin, si Bongbong. Ngayon hirap na hirap pang Comelec na alisin siya sa listahan ng mga kandidato. Unbelievable. At ang ginagawa ni Marcos, parang nilalaro-laro na lang niya ang batas. eh, parang sa loob-loob nila eh, kaya natin bilhin ng buong bansa. We have all the money in store somewhere. Look, I had a chance to talk to Mrs. Marcos at one time. Personally, ha, he's not here saying. Sabi niya sa akin, you know, mayor ako nun. People miscalculate our real wealth. They are accusing us of billions of dollars worth of gold. I'm telling you myself, we have more than 7,000 tons of gold deposited all over the world. Pag yan ay pasok namin dito, of course, meron siyang magandang intention, kuno. Tutulungan natin ang mahihirap na Pilipino. Pero ang problema, hindi na ayaw na bitiwan ng mga foreign government dahil inaangkin na nila yung ginto. Eh, talaga aangkin yun. Alam ng mga foreign government, nakaw yung pera yun. And then she defended her own theory and her own statement of saying, pero hindi namin inakaw yan. Ha? Yan ay talagang pag-aari ni Ferdinand Marcos even before we got married. Really? Yung mga ganong klaseng statement, you really have to raise your eyebrow. Saan kinuha ni Marcos as congressman, as a lawyer? Yung pera niyon. Pero sabi niya, amin na talaga yan. Nung kinasel kami, meron na kaming 400 tons. After 20 years ba naman presidente, naging dictator ka pa. Hindi ka ba naman makakaipo ng 7,000 tons? Maski na three lifetimes, maging dictator ka. Kung hindi ka nagnanakaw, hindi ka makakaipo ng 7,000 tons of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Pero ito talaga pinagmamalaki ni Imelda. She can deny it if you want. But I was seated to her. We were both godparents to a wedding. And she told me that personally. We have 7,000 tons of gold. So because that's more than gold deposited in Fort Knox. Of course. We have more money, more gold than Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can I consider any one of them to run the government again? Pag ito nanalo si Bongbong, I'm sorry to state, wala na pupuntahan talaga ang Pilipinas. Dahil if they got away with it by stealing so much money, they will steal even more money to make sure that they will get around once again. And babalik ulit yan at babalik pagka sa loob-loob nila. Magdakaw ka ng sapat para mabili mo na naman ang kalayaan mo later on. Yun ang masamang nangyayari ngayon. The lesson that the young are seeing, are learning, is one of a distorted sense of values. Para bang crime does not pay? Hindi. Crime pays. Basta magdakaw ka lang ng sapat, may pabili ka ng lahat.
Yeah, Congressman, of course, this conversation about the Marcoses and the dark days of martial law and the ill-gotten wealth, that should continue. But I'm talking to you now as an applicant for the vice presidency. And I want to turn the conversation now to you. I want to ask you, a while ago you said this is the most important lesson that the youth should learn. I want to ask you now, what is the most important lesson that politics has taught you?
I believe that in my 50 years of public office and politics, I have come to believe very, very clearly God's power over all of us. Ito lang nangyayari sa COVID na yan. What's the message here? To me, very clear. God is the only power over the lives of people. No one can say this and say that. We control the lives of people. No one can say that. When Marcos was in the height of his power, and I told my dad, I will run against the ticket of Imelda in Manila, on the Batasang Pambansa. My dad almost fell off his chair and said, why would you do that? You think you can beat Imelda's ticket? I said, no, Dad. I believe in God's power. And to me, the opportunity being given me is something that I cannot miss. Not just to win. Winning is beside the point. The number one reason for my running is to be able to join up with the people, the rest of the people, and talk to them about what I see as evils of Marcelo and the sins of Mr. Marcos. If I can enlighten many of our people with this message, then I feel that I have done my share.
What are the similarities, Congressman? What are the similarities between that moment when you decided to run for office the very first time, and when Senator Manny Pacquiao asked you to be his running.
The similarity is very, very clear. It looks so impossible. It looks so hopeless that people will change their minds about the impressions that they have on the impact of money of the Marcoses. Pero look what happened. Yung sinabi ko sa tatay ko na naging dahilan, kaya binigyan niya ako ng permiso niya. Sige, I see the nobility of your purpose. Go ahead, pursue your dream, pursue your good intentions, run for office against the Marcoses. And then the rest is history. We beat the ticket of Imelda, the KBL, and I was able to talk to about 1.5 million people during the campaign, where I was exposing here and there and left and right all the evils of martial law and the abuses of the Marcoses. So I won my seat in the Batasan, and I even won. To my own surprise, I won. And my friends who said, sayang si Lito, ganda ng kanyang thinking, pero walang panalo yan sa KBL. KBL had all the money, KBL had all the power, KBL had everything. And yet, we beat them.
Hmm. Do you think history will repeat itself?
If the God has already accepted our saying sorry for our past sins and blesses us once again, I believe that we will beat the Marcoses again to permanently close this chapter of distorted politics in our country. The distortion of values of the young will stop and people will go back to the correct thinking. Crime does not pay. You will always be punished, my God, if you commit all of this once again. Kaya ako naniniwala na pati itong COVID, when you think about it, ito'y ang mensahe rito napakasimple. To me, that you mentioned, I have been a proponent of valuing of life. Yes, correct. And I have always been telling people, life comes from only one source. It's not the government. It's not the politicians. It's the creator himself. So yung ating mga population control, birth control, abortion, divorce, and all this, which devalues life, ito'y minsan ng may-ari ng buhay. Okay, masyadong marunong. Ako lang ang may-ari ng buhay. And that's why I'm sending you all of these messages. Respetuhin niyo ang Panginoon Diyos.
Which brings me to my next question. I mean, you've been known to be unyielding when it comes to your beliefs, your values, your faith. But what do you think, what should the role of faith be? Should there even be that place for faith in policymaking?
We have to work doubly hard to give our people the kind of life that has been meant for us. Ang Pilipinas ay talagang binigyan tayo ng pagpapala. Our nation is blessed with so much wealth in natural resources. Undeniably, we have all the minerals in the Philippines. We have 14 million of virgin forest at one time. We have very luscious mangrove, a very rich aqua life. Lahat ng kalikasan, ang yaman ng kalikasan, nasa atin. Kaya kung inalagaan lamang natin ito, ang gobyerno natin hindi nagnanakaw at walang graft and corruption, talaga ko maundan na ang buhay ng Pilipino. Kaya yung pinaglalaban ni Manny Pacquiao, hindi ko matanggihan nung sinabi niya sa akin, ikaw, alam kita, Mayor, you have been working very hard to clean up the government in all the positions that you held. I witnessed that. Kaya ikaw ang aking pinili. Sa aking pagdarasal, pangalan mo rin ang pumapasok. Anyayain mo, yung kaibigan mo, si Lito Atienza. So that's the reason why I couldn't refuse Manny Pacquiao when he said, together, we will fight graft and corruption, which is the number one reason why the Filipinos remain poor. E tama si Manny rin eh.
Pero,
corruption is the number one.
I'm sorry to cut you there, Congressman, pero ano po ang masasabi nyo dun sa mga naniniwala na wala dapat puwang, wala dapat espasyo ang religious faith ninyo sa policy making? That faith is very personal and it should remain that way, and it should never find a way or a place into policy making and impose your faith on other people.
Amina,
what are your thoughts regarding that? Go ahead.
I will never impose my faith on anyone, but I will openly advocate good government, fighting corruption within government, and putting everything, the welfare of the people above all, above else. Kailangan sugpuin natin ang corruption. Ang issue dapat eh, talaga ba ang corruption ang napapahirap sa Pilipino? Ang sagot, yes, that's very true. It's corruption that makes the Filipinos poor and remain poor. So unless we really remove corruption, eh yan na talagang mananaig. And I have to brag a little bit. In my 50 years in public office and politics, I don't have a single graft and corruption case pending before me, because I have been very careful to administer public funds for the benefit of the people and not for my own nor my family members. Maingat ako dyan. And that's why I agree with Manny Pacquiao when he says, hindi tayo aangat, maghihirap ang ating mamamayan. Malulungkot ka, alam ko, sa aking pag-amin na ito, pero kung hindi natin lalabanan, talagang hindi na magbabago buhay ng Pilipino, kaya tulungan mo akong labanan natin. I told him, I will help you. I will help you campaign and inform the people of the issues involved on corruption.
Well, talking about Senator Manny Pacquiao, we know that he's a longtime friend of yours, and you've been quoted to have said, and you've actually said it here a couple of times already, that you don't believe another presidential candidate that could really help the Filipino people but him. Here's the thing, though, Deputy Speaker, the numbers are not showing that. Why do you think that is? What is he doing wrong? What can Senator Manny Pacquiao improve on in the run-up to the elections?
I think people have not really been given a clear and simple messaging on the issues of corruption. Ang corruption kasi, yung election naririnig ng tao ito eh. Bata pa ako, naririnig ko na ito eh. Eh wala naman talagang presidente yung tumupad na kanilang pangakong lilinisin ng gobyerno. Kaya ang tao, hindi mo rin masisi na, narinig ko na yan. Hindi naman talaga gagawin yan eh, pagka nanalo. Ako naniniwala si Manny Pacquiao lang ang gagawa niyan. And that's the reason why I joined him, because I know that he means what he says and he says what he means. Kaya among all the aspirants today, si Manny lang ang akin talagang nakikita. I've chosen the best, not the second best, not the lesser evil, but the best of all the aspirants. Manny Pacquiao is the only presidential hopeful who will deliver what is needed by the people now. A good, graft-free government that will provide people all the support that they need, all the services that they need. Kagaya ngayon, ang dami natin problema sa kalusugan, ang dami natin problema with this pandemic. Pero ano ang ginagawa ng mga politiko? They're talking about many, many other things except the real thing. We are failing to assure the people that government is still in control of the situation. Mabuti pa si Carmina Consentino, nagbibigay ng assurance. Ako, tumatawag na lang ako sa mga kaibigan kung magagaling na doktor, like Dr. Agbayani, Dr. Rene Bulgister of Cebu, who are always willing to assure everyone calling them about what to do to prevent deterioration of health of any of their friends and families. Mm-hmm. Ang gobyerno, anong ginagawa? Yun. Farmally dito, farmally ron. But are they giving the people assurances that, look, Yung mga nagnanakaw, nahuli na, nakukulong na. Hindi na magbibigay sa atin ng tiwala. Pero mangyayari at may magagawa. Pero hindi ganun. Ang nangyayari ngayon, talagang hirap na hirap ang investigasyon. Kaya para sa akin, dapat tapusin na yung investigasyon. Idimanda na lahat yung mga sinasabi nilang magnanakaw. Alam ko na mapapatunayan ng Leo.
Okay, Congressman, let's move on. As I mentioned earlier, I'm known to be a staunch defender of the Filipino family. I want to know, how do you define what a family is? What is your definition of a family?
Family is, of course, as defined by our own law and by our own faith, a husband and a wife and a number of children.
So if you have a unit that has two fathers or two mothers and a child or children, what would you call them?
When you have two fathers and two mothers, you can't really call it the regular definition of family. Family is a mother who is female and a father who's male and a number of children caused by reproduction in the familia.
Then what would you tell those who believe that isn't it all about love? That it is love that makes a family and nothing else.
Yes, love within the context of reproduction. Do not forget the word reproduction, Amina. Because pag wala yung reproduction, then you will be open to a lot of other demands and suggestions from different sectors. Kagaya ng raging issue sa Kongreso, yung mga hindi naniniwala sa same-sex marriage, hindi rin kami naniniwala sa pamilya. Wrong. We don't believe in same-sex marriage because marriage is meant for a male and a female. Mm. And the purpose is reproduction. Sabi nga sa akin ng main sponsor one time, Congressman, what do I have to do to change your mind? I cannot change my mind. My definition of a family is what is exactly what it should be. Mm. Now, if a Filipino male becomes pregnant and he can bear children, I will change my mind. Meaning natural law has already changed also in the country. But for as long as the male cannot get pregnant, it's the role of the female, and the male is the main worker of the family, at hindi na babago yan. The male is the breadwinner, the wife is the childbearer. Yan ang talagang papatuloy na definition ng pamilya na dapat natin igalang. Yan naman ay nasa ating saligang batas. Nasa lahat ng batas na ginagawa ng Pilipinas, andyan din po yung bisa ng pamilya, ang definition ng pamilya.
Now, you know how it is when it comes to sensitive topics like this. A lot of politicians would just try to stay away from the topic. But you're not one of those politicians. Why aren't you afraid to speak your mind, even if it means that this will shed some of the votes away from you?
I've always been like this, Carmina. When I started talking about my pro-life advocacy, I was advised by well-meaning friends, don't be too vocal about your pro-life thinking. You will not win election. Amina, that well-meaning advice has been disproven time and again in my political battles. Ang mga nakalabang ko, Secretary Flavier, nakalabang ko yung mga popular na mga population control proponents, hindi po natalo dito at siyensa. Because I believe that there are more people believing the way I believe.
Then what do you say to those who think that a Manny Pacquiao and Lito Atienza regime would only erode the gains in women empowerment, civil liberties even? What do you say to that?
I don't think so. It will in fact improve and increase the role of women tremendously, because President Manny, if he becomes president, and Vice President Atienza, will be giving them all the relevance of performing the roles. Hindi yung babae na nagpipilit maging lalaki. Kaya nang nakikita natin sa Amerika, sa airport pa lamang, makikita mo yung babae ay pumilit maging kargadora. She carries big loads of handbag.
But if she can do it, what's wrong with that?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm just saying, it's not the normal thing. It's not the usual thing. Women are really more fragile than men because they are meant for something else. They're meant to be taken care of. They're meant to be cared for. They're meant to be handled with care. Hey, I cannot agree with the thinking, hindi, pag babae, pwede mo na rin suntok-suntokin yan. Kaya yan. Hindi, babae, hindi sinasaktan. Kaya ako, galit ako sa mga politikong nagbabalat kayo, pero sinasaktan yung kanila may bahay.
Pero, Congressman, ang babae, malakas din sumuntok. Pwede rin kami manuntok.
Pero, Hermina, tama ka naman. Merong mga babae talagang malakas din. Pero, typically, we're talking about generalities. A woman cannot be as strong as a man. And I don't believe a woman can be effective in hand-to-hand fighting as a military woman. Physical strength comes from being a woman and a man. Hindi pwede mong pagsamahin yan. Kasi anong liberal ang thinking mo? Iba ang role kasi, iba. Sabi nga ng famous writer, women are from Venus and men are from Mars. Na, yun eh, very, 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 and a very significant informative book.
Let's move women, on to the, yeah.
Women are from Venus and men are from Mars. The writer is just...
Yeah, we get your point. Not sure that I entirely, and I'm pretty sure I'm not in agreement with you, but I get your point. Let's move on to the issue of death penalty. Congressman, how are you able to reconcile with that with a stand? I mean, we know that you've always been against the reimposition of death penalty. I guess the question now is, how are you able to reconcile that stand with the previous stand of your running mate, Senator Manny Pacquiao? Remember, he only belatedly changed his mind, but he has always been for the reimposition of death penalty.
I would like to give credit to myself in my continuing conversation with my presidential choice. We have talked about the death penalty many times, and I believe that somehow he opened up his mind and to accept the arguments that I have been including in the continuing debate, that death penalty is not the real solution for the Philippines. Ang ating crime index, ang ating crime situation will not even be improved if we just introduce the death penalty under a corrupt criminal justice system. Today, the problem is corruption. Kaya tayo manapakaraming krimen kasi yung police nabibili, yung fiscal nabibili, yung judge nabibili, pati yung batas nabibili. Eh, hindi yan ang solusyon eh. The death penalty will not improve. It will not even improve the crime situation. We need to fight corruption and that is the way to remove inequality in our justice system.
Congressman, last year you said, I am not afraid of how big the enemy is. Of course, you were alluding to Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio. If you're not afraid of her, what are you afraid of in the coming elections? What are your fears?
As far as these coming elections are concerned, wala akong kinatakutan. Ang aking tinitingnan yung positive opportunity that I'm given now to reach out to the people and explain to the people the issues that affect the nation. Wala akong kinatatakutan. If you ask me, aren't you worried that you may lose, that you can lose, that you will lose? That will not make a dent in my thinking, Karina. Losing is not even a to me a threat to my thinking and my political maturity. If I will lose because I am saying the right things, gladly I will accept defeat. Pero sa sabihin ko ang tama at naniniwala akong magtatagumpay ang tama sa dulo ng ating landas.
The country is facing many problems as we speak. I mean, I'm talking to you from my bubble, and you're in your bubble. That's how bad the situation is right now. And the situation only, this pandemic has only exacerbated the many problems already the country has been facing. Should you win as vice president, what's going to be foremost on your agenda for the country to recover from this pandemic?
Sabina, number one in our agenda with money is to really fight corruption. On day one, upon learning that we have won, we will announce to the whole nation the steps to be taken so that the corrupt will finally go to prison and not being able to run again for public office. Kailangan makulong. Crime and punishment should prevail in the country. We will immediately start organizing people's court where people of proven integrity will be tapped by the government to help us straighten out the distorted situation of criminality, justice, and everything.
Hmm.
Kaya number one yung fighting corruption.
Before
any program that we can even think of, we should consider putting to jail all those who have been guilty already and would be very easy to prove that they are guilty and they should be punished for what they've done. Kasi ang Pilipino pinaghirap all this past decade na mga ito. Pero,
Congressman, we're running out of time and I do want to get to the final portion of our interview. But before we get into that, just as a final question, on your running as vice president, how would you make the office of the vice president your own?
Carmina, I have been asked questions about that and I answered them very, very simply and clearly. I'm running for vice president. So my main task from now until serving my term is to be able to help the president and not to contradict him, not to embarrass him, not to even fight him. If you're running for number two, be ready to help the number one. Yan ang problema natin eh.
Even if it's not Manny, even if it's not Senator Manny Pacquiao.
No, kaya ako hindi natakbo under anyone. I only am running because Manny Pacquiao naniniwala ako.
But if he doesn't win and you win, is it still going to be the same? You're still going to be helpful?
No, because I'll do my best to change him. But by not embarrassing him, though. You don't embarrass the president. You cannot win over the number one. Nung ang politika ko, if you look back, I mean, I was vice mayor in Manila for 6 years. My mayor was not easy to get along with. If you remember that mayor, hey, he already passed away, so I don't want to mention his name anymore, but mahirap pakisamahan niya. Gusto kong labanan na frontally. When he initiated salvaging in Manila, my whole system was revolting every day. And every night I couldn't sleep sometimes because I couldn't accept killing people as a solution to fighting criminality. But I controlled myself. I told myself I will not be able to change the situation by fighting him.
But where does your voice?
What I did, I talked to him in private.
Okay.
And told him straight. Alam mo, hindi ko pwedeng sangayunan yung salvaging. Your policemen are killing Manilans every night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you don't stop this, we will have to split ways. And I'll tell the people why. Pero kung babagoy mo yan, I will continue my commitment to you, to support you for the next 2 more years. And because I supported him and we were very, very united, we won our re-election without any problem.
Okay.
And he became so successful.
Time for a rapid fire round before we let you go, Deputy Speaker Atienza. First thought that comes to mind, just give it to us, okay? You ready?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Last book you read.
The last book I read, I'm still reading the book on Trump and how he won his elections.
Interesting.
And how the writers are defining exactly
right.
how you did it.
Last text message you sent or a phone call that you made?
The last message I sent is to my wife, reminding her, I need your support, huh? Because I am going on the air with Carmina Constantino and I need somebody to assist me.
And she's there with you, beside you, as
of course,
we speak.
That's why she's beside me right now.
All right. Thank you, by the way, Mrs. Atienza, for helping us out. Really appreciate it. All right. Soji or divorce law?
It will not help the Filipinos. It will only further aggravate the problems of couples.
If you can only choose one, what would it be?
And of course, the children will suffer most. In a divorced nation, the children always are the first ones to suffer and suffer most.
All right. What's your playlist like? Most played songs? What do you listen to the most? Songs, music?
I like more instrumental music.
All right.
Live classical, the likes of André Rieu.
Mm-hmm.
Live classic.
Good.
Enjoy.
All right. Going back to the days of your days of being a student of architecture, I want to ask you about Antoni Gaudi. Is he a madman or a genius? Antoni Gaudi, the one who made Sagrada Familia.
Gaudi, to me, is a very creative designer. Mm. And he's not a madman. He is a creative man.
All right. Personal hero.
He went out of control certain types of his design. When you see a Gaudi creation, you can't say what he was trying to say, except to admit that the mind of the architect is out of control.
All right. Personal hero, who is it?
To me?
Mm-hmm.
I will continue to believe that Ninoy Aquino is one of the greatest Filipinos who ever lived, followed by another Filipino freedom fighter, Evelio Abier. These are the modern-day heroes which the young should be remembering.
Which would you rather have, the RH law or the death penalty?
None of them.
Last show you watched?
Netflix
is my favorite. Because
yeah, which show are you watching right now?
Or is it Dub? And you watch two or three movies.
So what are you watching right now?
Right now, I've been watching for the second time, Fauda. Mm-hmm. Fauda.
Oh. Okay.
I suggest you watch that. And talk
I
about
put that on my list. All right, here's a theoretical question, Congressman. The boat is sinking and you only need to save one person. I know you've been critical of Marcos Jr. and also the DOH Undersecretary Duque. So if you only need to save one person, who would it be, BBM or Secretary Duque?
I'll try to save both of them because they're both human beings. I will not use my personal bias on whom to save. I'll try to save both of them.
All right. You serve both?
If I succeed, good. If I don't succeed, I tried my best.
You served both presidents, Cory Aquino and Gloria Macapagal Arroyo. Which one is the better one?
They're both good, but ill-advised.
Finally, you find out you just won the elections. What's the first thought that comes to mind?
To deliver my gratitude to the Almighty. Because I know that I have won only because He wanted me to now fulfill my campaign thinking and my campaign promises. And I'll urge Manny Pacquiao that we start moving, getting the people who are guilty of poverty, for the people in jail, to teach our nation one basic lesson, that we need to clean up the bad eggs in government, because they have to be punished for what they have done to impoverish millions of Filipinos. Kaya tayo naghihirap dahil sa kanila. Patikman naman nilang magpunas ng rehas ng kulungan. In a joking manner, he tells people, I will build millions of houses, but I will build one big, big, big house, which I will call a mega prison, empty house, where I will put all of the Filipinos who have abused our nation's natural wealth and remind everyone that crime does not pay. That will give the Philippines a totally different direction. Pag nakulong na ang mga dapat makulong, magtatagumpay ang ating kabustuhan.
Deputy Speaker Lito Atienza, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate the conversation. You take care and you keep safe.
And thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Carmina.
Maraming salamat.
You give hope for an otherwise very, very acrid, dry situation. Our nation needs more journalists, media people who will not have an agenda interviewing other people. Obviously, you have given my position all the opportunities to be here. And I thank you for that. The nation owes you a lot for being a fair journalist.
Thank you. Appreciate those words. Take care. And to Mrs. Atienza, who's right there beside you, thanks for all the help today. Take care, guys. Next on In Focus, Senate President Vicente Soto III joins us to discuss his bid for the vice presidency in the 2022 polls. Our interview with Senate President Soto will be on January 14th, only here on Dateline Philippines. You got any questions? Send them to ANC Alerts on Twitter and ANC247 on Facebook. Use the hashtag ANC In Focus. But for today, thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit this episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.